calling 911 when in an accident may just not be enough. Car accident, remember. After 911, call 411. 1-800-411-PAIN. 1-800-411-PAIN is a legal and medical referral service. Non-employee spokesperson.
Can you feel it? Is it palpable? Is training camp just, I guess, a little over 36 hours away right now? As it starts about 8 in the morning, 37 hours, if you will. It starts 8 in the morning on Thursday morning. Frito here alongside Adam Beasley, Dolphins beat reporter for the Miami Herald, and our Dolphins insider, Greg Likens, as well. And the three of us will take you up until 10 o'clock. If it's later in the show, I think about 9:15, we'll be joined by Nate Davis, football writer for USA Today, who yesterday in the paper and online said that the Dolphins would regress and fall to 7-9, not make the playoffs, and the Patriots would be 16-0. So he will join us then. He also wrote a column today about 17 things to look out for in this upcoming season. We're not going to talk about all 17, but we will talk about storylines to look for as training camp for the 2017 campaign gets underway on Thursday. Adam, you were out there today for Adam Gase talking today. Just gave a little presser for the media, but lasted about 20 minutes or so. What were some of the highlights that went on?
Well, the biggest takeaway for me was, I think Adam, we know he wanted to do this tomorrow and not today because he was getting a lot of medical reports back from some of these hurt players later in the day, so he didn't have his full information to present to us, and oh boy, did he have some news later in the day.
Yeah, I mean, I said in my update, but coming up, but Koemisi, his season is over before it even started, and who knows, but his career might be over as well.
I think likely is the word, not might. Yeah. Players have come back from the spinal injury he's had before, most notably Peyton Manning. But Peyton Manning played at a position where you were supposed to avoid contact. Koemisi plays a position where you're supposed to initiate contact. And at this point, we can talk about this more later in the show, I don't know what his motivation to continue playing is. He gets $1.1 million from the Dolphins this year. I think that you take that, you invest it, and you live off it the rest of your life.
Yeah, I mean, Greg, you know, it's, we're talking about, not talking about a leg and arm or something. You're talking about a neck injury or a spine injury. You know, Prince Fielder had to retire because of a neck injury, or, you know, your career is done right now, this instant. You mentioned in the pre-show meeting here, Issa Abdul-Kaddous, mm-hmm. Dolphins defensive back last year, a neck injury forced a premature end to his season as well. Those things you just don't want to mess with.
No, and we keep seeing this. I know you mentioned Prince Fielder, but it's so something that we see in the NFL all the time. It seems very common, unfortunately. The thing with Koemisi, too, is that I know that he is a lot of fans' least favorite player because he's been so inconsistent in his ability to be available in the lineup. I mean, the only year he played all 16 games was his rookie season. Other than that, he's missed a ton of games, only played in 3 games last year. And as a former second-round pick, you know, he's been very criticized for not being durable enough. And I think that we all thought he could have been let go during this offseason. They ultimately brought him back on the deal that Adam referenced. But I think what this tells me now is, yes, let's first say that Koemisi is a really good guy and is a hard worker. So this isn't something that, because he wasn't prepared. It's just that his body is broken down. The same side of things, we talked after the draft that Isaac Asiata might be the draft choice that had the best chance to get into the starting lineup. Now it's clearly Raekwon McMillan. Sure. Koemisi's out of the way. So I think that's the focus now. 2 days before training camp, look at the linebacker position. We already know about Kiko Alonso and Lawrence Timmons. Who's going to be that third guy? And I think Raekwon McMillan has pressure on him as a rookie to step in and make a real positive impact.
Linebacker out of Ohio State. And Adam, I'm not comparing him because Koemisi, okay linebacker at times, you know, decent career. And who I'm about to mention is elite, but also a guy who's missed so much time is Pouncey. Now, Gase talked a great deal about Pouncey, but you can't go into a season, if you're the Dolphins, if you're the fans, you know, expecting Mike Pouncey, I think, again, in his career to play all 16 games.
Yeah, there was some good news and some bad news on the Pouncey front today. The good news is the Dolphins still have confidence he'll be ready for the opener. They've done is they're keeping him in bubble wrap. They're not going to put him at risk. They're going to do whatever they can to protect the guy. The bad news is that the Dolphins don't know when he'll be available to them. And so, yeah, they believe he's going to be ready for the opener, but they still don't know when he's going to practice, if at all. Gase said it was funny that if it was up to him, Pouncey wouldn't practice one snap this preseason. I think that's a bit ill-advised, personally. Particularly, what's the one thing you say with offensive line? You need what to gel? You can't gel in three practices, particularly those that will be just, you know, basically walkthroughs first week of the season. They need some reps. The offensive line, although improved last year, still wasn't particularly good. They'll only be good if Pouncey's healthy.
And, Greg, I mean, last year, Jay Ajayi had his first of two, you know, the first 200-yard game. It was a game, what, six, I believe? And that was the first game that the projected starting offensive line finally played together.
Well, yeah, we were talking about Cole Meese's games missed. I mean, Mike Pouncey's missed 17 games over the last 3 years. And I'm going to give credit where credit's due. I took this from an Adam Beasley article that was from way, way back in the offseason.
You're relying on that?
But, well, yeah.
Better check those
he's
facts.
He's sitting next to me now. But listen to this. In the five games he was on the field in 2016, the Dolphins averaged 26.6 points per game, 154.4 rushing yards, and gained 5.1 yards per carry. They were prolific. They were terrific.
Right.
Whatever you want to describe it as.
Give us
awesome.
Another ific. Come on, do it.
Yeah. In the 11 games he missed, those numbers dropped to 20.9 points per game, 95.6 rushing yards, and 4.1 yards per carry. So
a precipitous drop.
It's extremely obvious the value and importance he brings to the table. If he's not able to go for any amount of time, then it's going to be a problem for them. And I agree with what Adam's saying. I mean, from a continuity standpoint, from their ability to all come together with the new left tackle and Laremy mm-hmm. Tunzel and whoever the guards are going to be. We already know that Juwan James will be a right tackle, but this is largely a new group. So I think they need to have that time on the football field, and it would help if it was before the season opener.
And we will continue all this Dolphins talk. We're going to talk a great deal tonight about Dolphins and NFL as training camp again gets underway Thursday morning. But before you do that, let's go to headlines.
Here's what's trending now in Miami on The Ticket, WAXYAM South Miami and FM 104.3 HD2 Miramar.
The radio home of the Miami Heat.
And 2 days before the start of training camp, as we said, the Dolphins made a couple of roster moves. The season is over before it started for linebacker Koa Meese, and he was placed on IR today. Meese missed 13 games last season with a neck injury. Teams can bring two players back this season from IR, but Meese is not eligible to be one of them, so he will miss the entire 2017 campaign. Adam, I'm going to ask you to help me with pronunciation here. The team added to its secondary by signing cornerback.
No, don't ask me.
Alteron Verner.
Alteron Verner. I was hoping you guys would bring it up first so I wouldn't have to try to mangle
that
pronunciation.
I meant to ask you before the show, who played the last three seasons with Tampa Bay. Giancarlo Stanton's two-homer game last night gave him 32 round trippers for the season, tying him for the major league lead with the Yankees' Aaron Judge. The Stanton's trying to make history and has seven more games in July to do so. According to the Elias Sports Bureau, Stanton has four multi-homer games in July, one shy of tying the MLB record for a calendar month. Hall of Famer Harmon Killebrew, Edwin Encarnacion, who now plays for the Indians, and Albert Bell each have five multi-homer games in a calendar month. South Florida's own Brandon Knight, who is on the Suns right now, will miss the upcoming 2017-18 season with a torn ACL, the team announced today. He sustained the injury last week here in Florida and will undergo season-ending surgery. The Suns are his third team since entering the league back in 2011, and those are your updates.
So, Frito, at about 4:05 this afternoon, the Washington Redskins took to Twitter. And what did they tweet? Quote, he's a great addition for us. Gruden is excited to pair Zach Brown with fellow inside linebackers Mason Foster and Will Compton. Now, it was probably just an innocuous, innocent tweet, but that could have been a savage subtweet. Like, they could have been throwing fire at the Dolphins because they put that tweet out 15, 20 minutes after the Dolphins had announced that Koa Meese was done for the year. Why would that be ironic? Well, they could have had Zach Brown here, who would have obviously given them, anything would have been more than Koa Meese has given them, but would have been a real upgrade for this defense. So that's the Monday morning quarterback we'll be doing with this.
How close was he to signing down here?
He had a visit here, and I know we'll look up his contract with the Redskins. I know he didn't break the bank in Washington, so the Dolphins absolutely could have done it, but they made the conscious decision, you know what? We like Koa Meese. We think he's going to be helpful. If we think he's going to be healthy, we'll bring him back.
Well, I mean, okay, then behind the scenes, at least, they're not going to do this publicly. Are there doctors taking a hit? The Dolphins doctors from, say, the administration, mm-hmm. simply because, you know, Nick Saban listened to the doctors and didn't sign Drew Brees. He went with Dante Culpepper. And it turned out the doctors were wrong on that. Do you think, and this is surmising, and if you don't want to go down this road, I understand it, but do you think that the Dolphins doctors were just too optimistic about Meese's future, perhaps?
Well, I'm sure it just wasn't the Dolphins' doctors. I'm sure he saw a specialist. I'm sure, and he had surgery, obviously, so he saw a surgeon.
Sure.
They thought he was going to be cleared in May. And so we're 2 months after May, and they missed that deadline, obviously. Now, you mentioned in your update that he can't return to the Dolphins because at this point in the season, if you go on IR this year, he's not going to return to the Dolphins next year.
Right.
There's no chance that'll happen. But, yeah, so the Dolphins had a lot of different ways they could have gone, and instead they're going to have to rely on a rookie now, as Greg mentioned. If not starting the inside, at least as your strong side linebacker. And they didn't have to do that. There are so many. We mentioned, Zach Brown came in for a visit. Dante Hightower was out there. Now, I know the Dolphins didn't want to break the bank, but you could have taken at least a million you're wasting on nothing for Meese and applied it to a linebacker. Sean Spence was available. I mean, guys that wouldn't have been great for you, but at least they would have come in and played, and they would have given you snaps and quality snaps. You don't need a Pro Bowler. You just need some solid linebackers who can tackle. They didn't have it last year. If they have another injury now, that group's in trouble.
Well, Zach Brown signed a one-year, $2.3 million contract.
There you go.
Hardly in football, that's a pittance.
Right, and to your point, if they take the $1 million away from Meese and apply it there, then anyway.
And they're probably like $20 million under the cap now, so finances weren't an issue.
So what's the tweet by the Redskins again? Can you read that again?
I will. Let me grab it back.
It was essentially just featuring their three starting linebackers.
It was a two-minute video of Zach Brown and their new their new linebackers, as he mentioned, but it was just the timing. It was incredible.
Well, if you're an organization and you allow the people in charge of the Twitter account or any kind of social media to have a little bit of latitude, a little bit of fun, that's got to be great.
Well, the NFL is a different beast than the NBA.
That's
now, the NBA
sure.
is the Wild West on social media. The NFL, they don't play that game.
Yeah, the NFL is very strict when it comes to that. The NBA has become more strict because they try to now limit some of the back and forth, but they're much more entertaining. The league right now that is probably the most entertaining, I think, is MLS because they're looking for all the attention they can possibly get. But to Adam's point, I mean, look, watch or go back in your minds and remember the Pittsburgh Steelers playoff game, right? The linebacking core and the secondary both decimated by injury.
Oh, crushed.
And so I think that's the overall point here is if you're the Dolphins and you had an opportunity to get a Zach Brown, knowing that there was at least a little bit of a question mark, now we find out it was a huge question mark regarding the health and status of Cole Meese, you need to have more depth there. I liked bringing in Timmons. Obviously, they felt it was a priority to re-sign Kiko Alonso to the nice extension. But right now, you're relying on Raekwon McMillan, Neville Hewitt, who I think is a good player, but he's not necessarily the guy you want to be starting right away.
They got a kid from the Canadian League that looks promising. We'll see.
Right. The point is, and I think accentuating what Beasley just said, is that they could have had another established player in the NFL that they could have relied upon. And imagine if you had Zach Brown as your starter alongside the two guys and Cole Meese was still healthy and able to fill
right.
in to a certain degree.
And here's the incredible thing. We didn't know, obviously the Dolphins didn't know in March that Koa was never going to play again or may probably will never play again. But they had an inkling like in May and June. And who became available at that time? David Harris, the Jets linebacker, who was one of Mike Tannenbaum's favorite players of all time.
Yeah.
Where did he end up? The New England Patriots. So they could have had the same money probably that Zach Brown would have cost them and had one of the most productive players in Jets history, at least on the defensive side of the ball, come and play for the Dolphins for basically calling Meese money.
Well, if finances weren't an issue and the Dolphins had plenty of money under the salary cap to sign Zach Brown, now, again, we can say, all right, maybe the doctors thought that Meese would heal faster than he did. Maybe they swung and missed on that completely. I don't know. I'm not going to throw them under the bus, but it seems like they misjudged on his prognosis.
Oh yeah, but the doctors cost them production.
But
there's
also,
no question about
but
that.
But also, the team, the talent evaluators must have seen something and said Zach Brown at 2.3 isn't worth it.
Like,
well, they
David,
brought him in for a visit.
By the way, so we have all the information, David Harris's contract was a two-year, $5 million contract.
Okay, so it's basically
almost the same rate.
Almost the same.
The same APY, and I'm sure the second year is easily voidable. So, yeah, I mean, it would have cost you a little bit more, like $1 million more, but you would have a potential starting linebacker in your locker room as opposed to another lost cause.
Yeah.
Well, but I'll be interested to hear now that, I mean, then Adam Gase has to speak again. And then I don't know when Chris Greer is supposed to speak again or Mike Tannenbaum.
That might not happen until the end of the year.
Yeah, but what they say about Raekwon McMillan and his readiness to be a starter right away. Now, and one of the other points that I think should be mentioned, even though we're harping on the fact that they're without the linebacker, is that for the most part, I mean, NFL defenses these days play typically with two linebackers,
yeah,
right? I mean,
there's a lot of nickel packages.
Yeah,
and
it's and in fact, sometimes you go to the dime, depending mm-hmm. on which team and the matchups right. and everything. So it's I think it's more important to have more cover corners. So that's right. why I think Altron Werner bringing him in with his experience is actually very valuable for them.
How's that name said again?
But why was he out there? If you're out there on the eve of training camp, well, how effective can you be?
He got a monster deal with the Bucs 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was a 4-year deal.
He was it the Bucs or with the Titans?
He started his career with the Titans, and then I got a 4-year deal with the Bucs and played three of them. In fact, he was played alongside Brent Grimes last year in Tampa Bay. That combo.
So, I will check Miko's tweets on this guy, but I'm blocked.
Yeah, I'm sure she had some choice words. So you basically traded Grimes for Werner with a 1-year gap in between. I think his production slipped, but he's only 28. He's a smaller size guy. We can talk about this later. He's brought in for one reason. He's going to push Bob McCain at the nickel. That's going to be the competition to watch now going forward.
All right, we'll talk more about the Dolphins, get Adam's view on it, and Greg's and my own as training camp again is going to get underway on Thursday. A lot of questions for this club going, this 10-6 club going ahead in this season. USA Today predicts them to be 7-9. Vegas, I think the over-under is 7.5 games. Dolphins are being disrespected nationwide. Is it deserved? We'll talk about that next. There are only a few hours left to buy discounted general admission tickets for the 2017 Riptide Festival powered by Ford on December 2nd and 3rd. And when it's closed, you will only be able to buy tickets at full price. Riptide will be bigger and better than you ever imagined. Get $29 discounted general admission tickets now. Hurry over to theticketmiami.com before the pre-sale ends in just a few hours. That's theticketmiami.com. We'll get back to the Dolphins second. Alongside Adam Beasley and Greg Likens, Frito here will take you to 10. But something the three of us talked about before the show, speaking of tickets, El Clasico. I'm surprised to see, Adam, they're not sold out yet.
Yeah, that's from my colleague Barry Jackson, who's the hardest working man in journalism, no doubt. Greg, you had read the story. You said several thousand seats were still available?
Yeah, Barry had talked to organizers who said a few thousand seats remain unsold, but they expect to sell out by Saturday. And if you go, I mean, we checked this, Adam checked on his phone. You go to Ticketmaster right now or go to ElClasico.com and you can still get tickets at face value, but they start in the $250 range for the worst seats.
For the nosebleeds.
And they go as high as $4,500 for the club level. On the secondary market, it's about the same range at this point, but it's a lot of money to spend on a game, but this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity if you are a huge soccer fan, and this is by far, you could argue, the biggest rivalry in sports. In terms of the viewership, I was reading Greg Cody's column from over the weekend, and he was making the point that in one of the last matchups they had during their regular season this past year in La Liga, 400 million viewers estimated
wow.
worldwide tuned in. So we're always impressed by over 100 million viewers on the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking about four times the audience worldwide for these two teams playing, and it's happening here in our backyard.
Yeah, that's incredible. And you got to tip your hat, obviously, to the people at Hard Rock Stadium and Tom Garfinkel and Steve Ross, because they've understood the nature of South Florida soccer, that fans might be kind of on the fence about MLS if the product isn't great. But if you put elite talent out there, people are going to show up. The question I think I have is maybe they price themselves out. Maybe they overestimated how many people can afford a $250 seat. Yeah, there's great interest. And if it was half the price, it would be sold out. It would have been probably sold out in the first day or two. But I think that price point, particularly for that seat, for what's still basically a glorified exhibition game, right?
Well, that's the other side of this, is that they were given the words of both clubs that if everybody was healthy, that they would play, if that's possible. So,
yeah, right, are the stars playing?
Right now, Cristiano Ronaldo is not going to play. He's still over in China on a Nike promotional tour. And while they keep promoting the fact that maybe he makes it here, from what I've heard in talking to people, he's not playing.
Yeah, the game's 4 days off, right?
He's not going to be here
right.
for that. Leo Messi will play, assuming he doesn't get hurt. I think they have one more exhibition before
keep him away from Koumi
Saturday. And then the other big question mark, which is actually really intriguing, is Neymar, who is the best Brazilian player mm-hmm. currently out there. So he's got a huge audience. and a lot of fans. He is in the process of potentially moving clubs from Barcelona to PSG, the Paris-based team. And PSG and Juventus are playing down here tomorrow night. And so there's been a lot of questions entering this week as to which game he's actually going to play in, depending on how quickly this gets done. Now, there's conflicting reports, but just to give you an idea of...
When's the transfer window close?
What a power move this would be. It's still open. I mean, because the season doesn't start until, you know, next month.
Mm-hmm.
But if he moves, the buyout clause in his contract for him to move from one team to another is over $260 million. So that PSG would have to pay, their ownership would have to pay for him just to get bought out of his contract. And then they're projecting after taxes, he'll make $35 million a year salary plus a signing bonus.
Huh.
If this were to go
down. His base salary would be $35 million.
After taxes.
Wow.
If you were to transfer over. Now, so that's another storyline this week is if this suddenly gets done within the next few days, he's not going to play Saturday night because he's not even going to be on the team anymore.
Right.
So there's that.
It's got to be disheartening
well.
To fans. I mean, I get a couple of texts in here. If you want to text into the show, the Coral Springs Automall Honda text line, 67974, and you were talking about the price of tickets. One text wrote, that's why they're still available. I agree. Completely makes sense. Another one wrote, tickets are T with about 10 O's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else writes, and the Stars aren't even playing. And someone says Neymar is not playing. So it's there are a lot of reasons why. $250 if you want to see the teams seems reasonable. $4,500 for all the reasons that were just cited seems unreasonable.
Yeah, and it leads to a broader question, a discussion that we were having earlier, Greg and I, is that is Miami kind of losing its place as this ultimate destination for these elite events? Because everyone always says, no, Miami isn't a sports town. It's an event town. Well, we've had some pretty big events come and go now. Golf's obviously gone. That may have had some political overtones to it. Tennis could be in trouble. There doesn't sound like they're going to put a lot of money into that stadium, and they need that to keep the tennis there. The All-Star Game, they had, you know, you could get Home Run Derby tickets. You could get All-Star Game tickets pretty easily.
Day of.
And that parade was just a joke.
Well, but this you could put this game, I think, in any market if for the reasons you just cited, the player's not playing, et cetera. I don't think that's because it's in Miami that it's not being sold. All right, well, I mean, look at the Latin population out here. It's a soccer-crazy place.
Right.
But you put this game in Philadelphia, for instance, it probably wouldn't
sell. No, the Northeast and the Pacific Northwest, I mean, they really draw for soccer. And I think
but
you put this game in New York.
The Stars weren't playing?
Well, when people bought these tickets, they were given assurances the Stars would play. I mean, that's a thing. It's been on sale for a long time now. So it's a development in the last week or two that these guys aren't going to play.
Well, and again, they had the disclaimer that they would play if healthy and if fit. And in the case of Cristiano Ronaldo, the inconvenience there is that he represented Portugal in the Confederations Cup in Russia. So it's not like he just, at the end of the season, which, by the way, the end of the Real Madrid season was them winning the Champions League. So their season extended even further as the best, you know, club team in Europe. So he went from that, instead of going to vacation and then potentially showing up here in Miami, he then went to Russia to represent Portugal in the Confederations Cup. And so now they're giving him the time off, which you should, because this game doesn't mean anything outside of bragging rights against your rivals. And I think it's cool for them on all these players that are involved that they can promote themselves in front of an American audience as well. But at the end of the day, I don't blame Cristiano Ronaldo for not being here. On the other side of things, they still have a lot of star power on both teams. But everybody, including casual fans, knows Ronaldo, knows Messi.
Right. Even without those players, those would still be some of the elite teams in the world.
Unbelievable talent on both sides. And when Sports Illustrated, or ESPN, I should say, came out with its list of the famous 50 or famous 100, the top 100 most recognized and most well-compensated athletes in the world, I mean, these two teams, I think I had the number, was like, of between these two, it was like 12 players on that list of the top
100. So even if you get half of those, it's still a pretty good ticket.
It's still really good. But again, if you are just a casual fan, you don't follow soccer that closely, you still know who Ronaldo and Messi are.
Sure.
And those would be the two that you would want to see. Messi, it sounds like, is going to play, which in and of itself is a terrific thing that you could see him down or in our country and especially here in Miami. But
might be the best soccer player of all time.
Could be. And Ronaldo could make a case as well. So the fact that you're missing out on one of them, I think, does hurt it a little bit.
I was just going to make the point that we were talking about earlier about Miami as an event town. I find it curious that the college football playoff championship has not yet been awarded to Miami. Certainly, the condition of the stadium is no longer a stumbling block.
Right.
They're in Atlanta this year, I believe, or Tampa this year. They're going to San Francisco. I believe Arizona's
out
of
Stadium, right?
Correct. Yeah. So obviously, the NCAA and the BCS, wherever they call it now, the college football playoff, is looking at Miami a little cross-eyed, saying, "Is this where we want to be?" They have every year, unless Florida State's playing. Huge problem selling Orange Bowl tickets. You could get those day of. And it's funny, Mark Murphy, the CEO of the Packers this past week, said that because the Packers want to host the NFL draft, and the NFL draft has been on a rotational basis. It was in Chicago. It was in Philadelphia this past year. He said that all 32 teams plus Canton, where the Hall of Fame is, want to host the NFL draft. And I'll pose this question to you. What incentive does the NFL have to bring it to Miami? Because A, late April, early May, it starts getting really hot here. And B, Miami sports fans have kind of shown that they're not turning out like people thought they would. Yes, if it's a destination event like the Super Bowl, you're going to fill that because the Super Bowl gets filled no matter where it is. But if you're going to rely on local fans, which to have 25,000 people at the NFL draft, you have to have local fans there. What's the incentive? Because for better or worse, Miami sports fans have shown they've got better things to do than show up to some of these events.
Well, maybe after the AAA. You know, it's obviously it's indoors, so the weather's not a factor. That's a good amount of people there, and maybe if it's less than 25,000, then you still have the demand for tickets.
But you saw the visuals last year, and I think that's what the NFL wants. You saw people lined up and down whatever that road was in Philadelphia, basically up the stairs to Rocky, and people were craving being close and going nuts. I don't think you can rely on that in South Florida, can you?
Well, they did that in Chicago as well, where they held, you know, the first round indoors in the theater, and then they still had the Fan Fest, which was in the park across the street,
right.
And it was packed. I mean, they had so many people, and then they had days two and three on that outside stage where they were making the announcements. So I do think that the NFL, they don't want to take this experience and limit it to just a stadium or a theater, whatever
right.
It is, in whichever venue. They want to have it be expansive and have hundreds of thousands of people roll in for the 3 days of the NFL draft.
So the draft, one text writes, in the draft would attract fans because it's all different teams. There would be so many Giants, Jets, and Pats fans here. I mean, there'd be some. I, you know, would they show up? I would love to have the drafter back in, what it was, 2008? When they drafted Ted Ginn. Remember the Jets fans when it was held in New York?
07.
Used to go 07. Yeah. Used to go nuts with whoever the Jets picked.
Oh, that would have been a bad visual.
Oh, just to see the Dolphins fans boo like crazy as back then. Was it Goodell back then? 2007? Or would that have been
so.
The Tagliabue?
You're aging me, man. I wasn't even South Florida then, I don't think.
Well, in 08, it would have... Now, the rules have since changed, but 08 would have been so anticlimactic because they knew... I think they had a press conference before the draft for Jake Long. Like they, maybe, I
no, that was 08. Yeah, but I mean, Ginn was then
but,
before.
But in 08, the next year, like they had the number one overall pick,
right.
And we knew a week before that
right.
They already agreed to terms on like a contract and everything with Jake Long, and that it was done. So the only real climactic part of it was numbers 2 through 5, really, and because number one was already a done deal.
07, by the way, was Tagliabue. I remember, I got a story about that 08 draft. So I was producing a lot back then. And reporting as well. I was reporting. I wasn't producing. I was reporting. And a station in Denver calls me up. This is 2 days before the draft. Now, they came to an agreement with Long before that. Before, this was on a Thursday. They came to an agreement with Long on a Tuesday, 4 days before the draft. And the station in Denver calls me up 2 days before the draft, said, "We want you on when the Dolphins make their pick so you can react to whomever they pick." This is a sport. This is a sports producer.
Oh my goodness!
I'm like, have you been under a rock? They agree. They can't sign the contract. They agreed with Long 2 days ago. Haven't you looked? And this kid was just dumbfounded. He hadn't heard of it. That they already came to a deal with the number one pick
at a sports station.
This is a all sports radio station in Denver.
Oh, that's pathetic.
That is pretty bad. I mean, I don't prepare when it comes to James Harden shooting threes, but. Inside joke.
Well, I didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry. Grant was talking.
It was a James Harden joke.
Oh, okay.
By the way, somebody texted and says, I'm pretty sure the NHL draft down here was terrible.
I covered that years ago. It was like in the early 2000s.
How was the crowd?
Well, I think
it was okay. I'm trying to, you know, this is back 15 years ago.
They've had it more recently. They had it in 2015.
Oh, did they hear? Okay.
Yeah, in January, June 2015.
Yeah. Somebody else texted and says, it's not that we're not interested, I think, in the soccer match. It's just that the price is way too much. Miami prices are higher than what the average income is in the city. Well, I would agree in the sense that, like, I am as big of a soccer fan as it gets. And, you know, media credentials are very difficult to come by. And I'm looking at those prices and I'm saying to myself, I don't live that far from the stadium, but I, on Saturday night, would rather watch, either go out with some people and watch somewhere that's not the game and just enjoy the atmosphere, or just watch from home. So I don't want to pay $250 for a ticket when I've got to be looking through my binoculars to actually see the guys playing. Like, that's just insane.
You do have those beautiful jumbotrons in each quarter.
Right, yeah. I mean, so, you know, I feel I fit in that category where I'm just not going to spend $250 on a preseason-type contest, despite the fact that it's a spectacle, and this is only the second time in the history of the greatest rivalry in sports to be played outside of the country of Spain.
Again, you got to give credit to Steve Ross for making this happen.
Oh, I do, completely. But, you know, I can, I guess, what I'm saying is that for the fans out there that don't want to spend that kind of money, I can understand.
All right, we said Dolphins. We kind of digressed and got out of that lane. So when we come back, we're going to talk more Dolphins football as training camp gets underway Thursday morning. Alongside Greg Likens, Adam Beasley, Frito here. We're back after this. Listen for Just the Tips with Amber on the Ticket Thursday mornings in the 8 a.m. hour. It's sponsored by East Coast Public Adjusters. We've got your assets covered. Call 855-GET-ECPA or visit eastcoastpublicadjusters.com. Don't settle for less and listen to Just the Tips on AM 790 and FM 104.3 HD2, The Ticket. I noticed in the break room today, I guess this came for the morning show, like 7 a.m., Wawa delivered two boxes that were the size of, like, you know, Mack trucks.
That's what I'm talking about.
That had, like, subs in them. And I got here to the station. I had to come early for a couple things. So I got here about, oh, I don't know, 3 o'clock maybe, a little bit, 3:30 maybe. And now, I didn't know they came as early as 7, but it was like jackals to fresh meat. There wasn't even a crumb left.
I would blame Beast, but he's not doing that anymore,
no,
is he?
Not. No, he's not doing that. Can't blame Beast. You got a whole – look, you got 4 radio stations here.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, you got a lot of hungry people, and you put free food. I mean, it's gone.
Basically, any media, you give us free meals, and that's what the – you know, the Dolphins, we haven't paid for a meal in Davey in, what, 3 years now?
Yeah, right. Well, since someone was replaced. You know?
Whoa! Wow!
And somebody more generous came in.
Holy mackerel! Are you talking about Joe Philbin or somebody else?
No, somebody else. Am I wrong? No.
We can't.
I'm not wrong. Okay, we'll stick to the field.
Oh, golly. I enjoy that man, so I'm not going to go there.
I like him, too. Just the next guy's more generous. All right.
With Steve Ross's money.
Yeah, facts are facts, right? I mean, that's what happened. Timeline, somebody else took over.
It's a good point.
Yeah, that's what happened.
I won't be able to cover training camp. I can't because I live in Kendall. It just it happens too early for me, you know, dropping my kids off in camp. So I can't get there for the 8:20 practices. So I'm relying on guys like you, Adam, to tell me about it. I know one of the things when whenever you get a chance, and not every player is available every day, when you first get a chance to talk to Jarvis Landry, the first question out of everybody's mouth is what's going on with the contract. As far as you know, or what Barry's reporting, or you or Armando, I mean, have talks even started between the sides?
From what both Barry and Armando have heard, that as of either earlier this week or late last week, the Dolphins had not even yet made an offer to Jarvis Landry, which on its face seems jaw-dropping.
Yeah, I was just going to, why? Why not even at least engage in talks?
Here's the Dolphins' rationale for doing so. And they thought that it'll ramp up sooner rather than later. They didn't want to make the first volley, so to speak, because when you go into a negotiation, you always lowball. And if you're the player, you always highball.
Of course.
And they didn't want Jarvis, who's an emotional guy, to feel disrespected, because there have been instances in the past where players get a low initial offer and take it as a sign of disrespect.
But couldn't his agent prepare him for that? Look, this is just doing business. Don't ignore the number. We're going to get it up.
My argument is there's no lower number than zero, and that's what they've offered him right now. So, yes, I think it's even worse for them not to enter into these talks. Look, this could be a slow-motion car wreck because, yes, Jarvis says the right things, and Adam today said that, you know, he hasn't talked to Jarvis about it recently and he doesn't expect to, and Jarvis will do the right thing. He loves playing football. all that's well and good, but there's a hard deadline now in September, what, 9th, 10th?
Whatever the opening day is, that's it. He's not going to negotiate after that.
Correct. And so we're now, what, 6 weeks off maybe? And if it doesn't happen by the opener, I would say there's a high chance that Jarvis Landry is going to be franchise tagged, and he's not going to like that one bit. Because if you're a player and you get through the season healthy, and you got to expect if Tannehill's healthy and they know the offense better in the second year, he's going to be more productive than he was last year. Jarvis is just continuing to get better. His value right now is the lowest it's going to be in the next 9 months, 10 months, whatever it is until free agency begins. So if you're a player and you don't have a contract in hand before the season starts, and you get to the end of the season, you don't have a contract, what incentive do you have then to give the Dolphins any kind of deal? And if I were Jarvis, I would say, no, I'm going to go check the market out, see what I'm worth, and see if I can get more from somebody else. And I don't think the Dolphins are going to allow that to happen. They're going to franchise him. And players don't like that. They don't. They like the guaranteed money up front. They like a multi-year contract. They don't like having a one-year, living basically year to year on this franchise deal.
And when they talk about, I believe when they talk about receivers, right, do they differentiate between a wideout and a slot receiver?
No, he'll be paid, I think the number this year was 15-1.
So receiver is a receiver.
Correct.
Okay.
The number
I know
this,
that, who was the one at, for
Jimmy Graham.
Jimmy Graham was right. A tight end, but lined right. Up wide so many times he wanted to be franchised as a wide receiver.
How'd that work out for him?
He didn't get it. And it would have been millions more.
Correct. He'll be franchised if it comes to that as a wide receiver. And my projection is it'll be around $16 million next year, which is completely absurd that we will get to that point because the Dolphins took care of everybody else. They took care of Rashad. They took care of Kiko Alonso. They took Kenny Stills, Andre Branch. And I think we discussed this before. You know Jarvis is going to make $900,000 this year. He'll probably make $16 next year. So let's say over the next 2 years, he's going to make $17 million if they franchise him. Why not say, hey, look, Jarvis, you know you're not going to make more than $17 million between now and next year. Why don't we offer you, say, 4 for $44, $11 million a year, but we'll give you $25 million guaranteed. That way, you get $8 million more guaranteed. We get you on a team-friendly deal where you're not making $15, $16 million APY. We all win. The question is, and we going back to the top of this discussion, Jarvis is so emotional and sees himself as not only the star of the team, he wants to be the star of the NFL. And I had a long conversation with him about this. He's ticked off that Tom Brady has the best-selling jersey in Florida. I mean, that angers him. He says that has to change. He wants to be the face of this franchise. And if they lowball him, it's going to be a slight. He didn't like the fact that it was a 97th or 98th 2 years ago in the NFL top 100. He moved up to the 40s this year. And even still, he says he wants to be the best player in the NFL. Now, we all, the three of us in this room, know that he has physical limitations that probably won't allow that to happen. But there's no reason to believe he can't be one of the four or five highest paid wide receivers in the league.
And Greg, if they sign him, let's say they come to a deal. You've signed Stills. What was Stills? What was the guaranteed money? I can't remember.
I think they got him for eight annually, right? I think it was 4 for $32. Does that sound right? I'll look it up.
It was a lot lower than everybody anticipated.
And let's say they do come to a deal. Let's say, just hypothetically, what Adam proposed, 4 years, 44, $25 million guaranteed. Is there enough in the till to also bring back Parker when he becomes a free agent? I mean, that's a lot to commit to one position.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think this is a huge year for Devontae Parker to determine, you know, if he's actually going to live up to the billing as the former 14th overall pick in the draft. But just real quickly, piggybacking on what Adam said and in reading Armando's description of that, you know, I read Armando's article and said, okay, I understand that you have an emotional guy here, that you don't want to, you know, rush anything or, you know, make any moves that could be sensitive with a guy that you really want to have around for a long time. But I would agree with Adam. Like, I have no idea why they wouldn't at least have made some sort of offer at this point. I mean, we've all been talking about this for months now, and it's been months since they made any significant signings. So why nothing has happened between now and then, just because he's an emotional guy? I don't know. That seems very odd to me. I understand the rationale behind it, but it also seems like an extreme rationale to take when we're now essentially on the eve of training camp beginning. And then at that point, I mean, you could argue that even within the next month, push will come to shove and they want to get something done before this deadline that's put in place. And oftentimes these things do have to get done and the deadline has to be there for the sense of urgency. But, man, it would have been a nice headache to remove from everybody, media-wise, from him psychologically, for the coaching staff, the front
office.
He's
going to be asked about it all the time.
Take care of it before all this begins so there's no circus attached to it. You can just focus on football.
And look, Tannehill's going to be asked about it. It's going to be at least somewhat of a distraction. Adam, what I don't understand, why doesn't Landry's camp make the first move and get, say, all right, this is what we're asking for. Rather
18
than
mil a year. Let's just start.
Right. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Start high and then negotiate down. There's no guarantee they'll come to an agreement, but why it seems that Landry's advisors are waiting for the Dolphins to make the first move, and yeah. I don't understand why.
Well, full disclosure, I was on vacation for the last month, so I haven't made a ton of phone calls on this recently. I just got back. But when I had talked to his camp back in I think it was right after all those deals got done, Alonzo and all that. They said that after the draft, we think things are going to ramp up. Well, the draft was 3 months ago now, right. 2.5 months ago. Clearly, there's something going on here. Whether or not it's the Dolphins, this might not be polite to talk about, but the Dolphins they wonder if he's got the right mental makeup to give him that money for that long time. Because, yes, he's a professional. He plays his butt off, but he's got a temper a little bit, and he plays off the handle, and he's an emotional guy. Do they think he's mature enough that they're willing to make that kind of investment in him long term? You franchise him year to year, there's really no risk. If he blows up, it's 1 year and you move on. But if you give him that $25 million guaranteed, he's around for at least two, probably 3 years. Again, Jarvis isn't a troublemaker, but he's an emotional guy, and the Dolphins have said he needs to get better in 2017. Maybe they still need to see more. I don't know.
That, again, because he's not a bad guy, because he gets an emotional, maybe draws a flag or two, occasionally. To me, that wouldn't preclude me if I felt that our team is, especially our offense, is appreciably better because of his presence on the field. I don't give a damn. Even Gase was talking about celebrations, and I don't care about if guys draw flags, right? I mean, he said as much.
Yeah, he still signed a 4-year, $32 million contract with 20 guaranteed. So it's not unusual. It's not outrageous to think 4 for $44 million with 25 guaranteed is the right number for Jarvis Landry.
Right, and because I think, obviously, Kenny Stills' speed helps Landry, but I think Landry helps Stills more so. I mean, Landry has been the best player, arguably on the entire team, the last few years. Certainly on the offense, I would argue. And so why they wouldn't make this a priority and just get this done?
Especially since they got everyone else done. That has to stick in his craw.
Here's a new guy, Andre Branch. Came from, 4 or 5 years in Jacksonville. He's here 1 year. He gets 3 years, $27 million. Kenny Stills, was here 1 year or two? 1 year.
Two years.
With the Dolphins. He's getting his deal. I'm going into my fourth season. Where's mine?
Right.
Why aren't I getting? Look at the stats that I've put up. Why aren't I getting my deal?
And if he has a bleep you season and goes for 1,200 yards and 9 touchdowns, I could see him walking. I could see the Dolphins being forced to franchise him because he says to him, you know what? You guys had your chance. I'm moving on.
Right.
If Jarvis Landry feels he's being given the short shrift or screwed, I got an NFL player that's gotten a lot worse than that. We'll talk about that next.